You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, the podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction. By coincidence, if there is any such thing, a number of different people over the last few weeks have asked me to talk about weight loss. So this podcast episode is not about that. I'll explain why I say that in just a minute. We're not going to talk about weight loss. Instead, we're going to talk about achieving your goals and objectives, your dreams, your big dreams. What online program owners know as perfect moments. Let me quote a review from one such individual. This is word for word from a guy called Steve in Denver, Colorado. In following the program, I have landed the career of my dreams, spent ample time raising my family, and lost 45 pounds to become healthy and fit. That actually almost covers everything in life, doesn't it? Healthy, fit, family time, and the career of one's dreams. There's a whole bag of goals, a whole bag of objectives, indeed a whole bag of perfect moments in that single sentence. But the one that I want to zone in on for a start is the 45 pounds. Now, I don't know what that is in kilos, and I'm not going to bother trying to calculate it either, but it's a lot of weight that was lost, as he said, in following the program. Now, the program I'm referring to is the Psychology of Success online program. You'll have heard me refer to that a number of times. And if you want to get details of that program, you can click the link in your podcast player along with this episode. But as I said, I'm not going to talk about weight loss. And do you know what confirms that? The online program to which I've just referred doesn't mention weight loss once throughout 72 core video-based sessions and related exercises, nor throughout any of the 31 video-based advanced sessions in the online program. The online program never mentions weight loss. And yet this guy says, in following the online program, I lost 45 pounds to become healthy and fit. You may have heard the story before. I think I've recounted it in at least one episode many moons ago. A number of years ago, before I worked on Zoom, indeed before Zoom was anything other than a twinkle in the eye of its inventors, I used to do a lot of work by telephone, old-fashioned telephone. And I had a series of six one-to-one consultations lined up with one particular lady in the UK. And our first conversation, we'd never met, I'd never seen her. Our first conversation in the first sentence out of her mouth was, "I am obese." We talked for an hour and a half. And at the end of the 90 minutes, she said to me, "I started this conversation by telling you that I was obese. And you completely ignored me." She said, "You haven't mentioned weight once in those 90 minutes." And I said, "That's right. We talked about how to take control of your state of mind. Because if you don't take control of your state of mind, your mind run by the automatic pilot using thoughts that you learned when you were young and impressionable is in control of you. And that is a recipe for never achieving any of your goals or objectives or big dreams or perfect moments, because the automatic pilot is designed to always bring you back to the same place. If you take charge of your state of mind," and you know, this is episode 214 of this podcast. We've been talking about taking control of your state of mind for 4 years in this podcast at this stage. And I've been talking about it since I started working for myself, doing this in 1996. If you take charge of your state of mind, then you set your whole life off on a completely new trajectory because you will change your perception of yourself and you will change your expectations. I'll come back to expectations in a minute. She said, but you never mentioned weight loss. I said, I'm not going to mention weight loss either. We finished up our first conversation. Our second conversation, a 60-minute telephone call, was about 2 weeks later. And it started off by her saying to me, what did you do to me? I said, what do you mean? She said, my weight is falling off. We never talked about weight loss during that conversation. It's like as if you ignored my even telling you that I was obese. She said, and now the weight is falling off me. I've come down a couple of dress sizes in 2 weeks. She said, my son is studying at university in Edinburgh. And every so often I drive from the south coast of England up to Edinburgh for the weekend to hook up with him. She said, normally when I do that, I get in my car, go to the local news agent and fill up the passenger seat with M&Ms and Mars bars and Snickers and all good stuff. She actually meant to say all bad stuff, but that's neither here nor there. She said, last weekend, I drove up to Edinburgh. We spent a lovely weekend together. I drove back down from Edinburgh, drove into my driveway, looked at the passenger seat and said to myself, oh, I forgot to buy any treats for the journey. She hadn't forgotten. Her evolving state of clarity of mind had ensured that she did the right thing and stopped doing the wrong thing. In exactly the same way, a client of mine, again, we're talking about years ago when I was working face to face with people in Dublin and London and places like that. A client of mine in Dublin, who was actually a dietitian and who was overweight, told me that she would go out with her friends every Friday night and would always, always go for the biggest burger and chips on the menu. She said, it's like as if I couldn't help myself. I know it's bad for me. I know what damage that kind of food is doing to my system, but it's automatic. I just order the burger and chips. And I said to her, sure, of course it's automatic. When you're using your mind normally, you are on automatic pilot. You'll always make the same choices. And because those choices are based on the thoughts that you learned when you were young and impressionable, you will always make bad choices. You will always make the wrong choices. And if you happen to make the right choice, it'll be by accident. It'll be dumb luck. If you're using your mind automatically, it'll always bring you back to the same place. I met her a few weeks later. She said, the weight is falling off me. She didn't ask me what I had done to her. And by the way, I'd done nothing to the other girl either. She had done something for herself. But she said to me, the weight is falling off me. And we never talked about weight loss, except for me to tell you that I kept ordering the wrong meal when I went out with the girls on a Friday night. She said, I was out with the girls last Friday night, and we sat down, and everybody kind of went, oh, yeah, Mary will have the burger and chips. We know Mary so well. And she said to herself, yeah, I'll have the burger and chips. Looks lovely. And by the time the waiter came around to take the order out of her mouth without her thinking about it, she ordered fish in a salad. And everybody else was stunned, but they weren't as stunned as she was, because it's like as if it just came out from the inside. Now, of course, it did come out. It came out from the person within, the real person who will always do what is right for you when you don't think about it. Why do you think one of the most listened to episodes of this podcast is one that was published about 4 or 5 weeks ago called You Are At Your Best When You Are Not Thinking? This girl had stopped thinking and started doing. There's a world of difference. Now, we've talked about that world of difference so many times before in this podcast with regard to how thinking stops doing, how when we are thinking, we're always going to react. How, when we're thinking, we can never actually take real action. In other words, we can never do the right thing. But how, when we stop thinking, Our being mind and our doing mind, the real you, if you like, knows exactly what is best for you. Now, a word of caution. I am making no claims whatsoever, either in this podcast and obviously not in the online program because weight loss is never mentioned in it. I am making no claims whatsoever in relation to a program that will enable you lose weight. What I am saying to you is that when you take charge of your state of mind, you can achieve anything to which you set your mind. And the really interesting thing about that is that more often than not, people will actually know deep down that they are overweight or need to look after their diet and their balance in their lives, but can't do anything about it because they're operating on autopilot. But because they know it deep down, when they begin to take charge of their own state of mind without thinking about losing weight and without even setting their mind to lose the weight will come down by virtue of the fact that the inner you, the real you, knows best. And we've said this so many times recently in so many different ways with regard to, for example, how you should listen to your gut instinct. How you should never ignore your gut instinct, never second guess your gut instinct, because your gut instinct knows what is best for you. We've talked about it in the context of goal setting, and indeed, this episode is entitled How to Achieve Your Goals, and how people generally set the wrong goals for themselves because they think they know what they want. Now, we cover that in great detail in the last couple of episodes. But the really interesting thing about this issue of weight loss, and you see, it is an issue because people who want to lose weight keep thinking about their weight. In other words, their energy is putting into how overweight they are rather than how it will feel when they are at the right weight. In other words, really, what I'm saying to you, and I've said this word for word a couple of weeks ago, is you need to let yourself be. All you need to do is turn up to the here and now, body, mind, and soul, and let yourself be and let yourself do, let yourself take real action. I'm not going to talk about weight loss anymore for the simple reason that it isn't an issue when you're in the zone. Indeed, nothing is an issue when you're in the zone, or what the University of Chicago calls flow. When you're in flow, you, as I said to a group of people on Zoom a couple of weeks ago, you'll dance through your day like a ballerina. You'll never put a foot wrong. You're always going to know exactly what's going on, and therefore you're always going to know exactly what you need to do, and better than that, because you are in flow and not thinking about it. You'll just do what you know is best for you to do, and it'll be effortless because the effort comes from thinking about what you have to do. Thinking that I don't want to do it, thinking about I can't do it, thinking about little old me isn't up to the task in terms of saying things, thinking about what would other people think of me if I said something like that, or would I get away with saying something like that? That is why, at the risk of repeating myself, and I have a deliberate habit of repeating myself because most people don't listen to me until the umpteenth time. At the risk of repeating myself, we are at our best when we are not thinking. But if I go back to the start of this episode and quote Steve from Denver in Colorado in relation to the career of his dreams and family time. Now, that's a really interesting one because we're talking about what is colloquially known as work-life balance. There's no such thing, by the way, because there aren't two of you, a work you and a life you. Work is part of your life. And if you don't like your work, it's going to impact on the other part of your life. And if you're having a crappy life, it's going to impact on your work because there's only one of you. And what we need to do is ensure that, as we've said before in this podcast, if you don't like your work, you have two choices. You can either change your mind, in other words, start liking your work or stop thinking about how you don't like it, or you can change your job. And more often than not, it's easier to not change your mind, but take charge of your mind rather than change your job. Indeed, on another program owner Zoom a couple of months ago, we were talking about career choices. We were talking about getting dream jobs. And one of the guys was talking about how he had been invited out to a get together with a group of guys he went to university with, and how he didn't really want to go because they all had better jobs than him and he didn't like his job and he was going to feel inadequate. Roll on 2 weeks to the next program owner Zoom, and he was online again, and we were picking up the conversation from 2 weeks earlier. And he said, "I reflected on what I said last Wednesday week. I reflected about how I felt about myself and how I felt about my job before I actually did go out and meet my friends that Saturday night. And I realized that I actually have my dream job. I already have my dream job. It's just that I thought it wasn't my dream job." And he said that has changed everything. It has changed how I go about my job. It has changed about how easy it is to do my job. It has changed how much time I spend on my job. Now, that's a really interesting one, because if you think about it, or maybe don't, because thinking is a dangerous thing, if you reflect on it, if you have to work for, say, 8 hours a day, the probability is that you're spending 4 or 5 of those hours doing things that aren't related to the work that you're supposed to be doing. I recollect a number of years ago working with a senior leadership team in a pharmaceutical company, and one of the things I asked them to do, it was about 10 or 11 of them on this team, was to break up into three groups, get themselves a flip chart each, and write down this really easy question to answer across the top of the page, things I should not be doing. So we had three flip charts, three presentations, things I should not be doing. And there were all manner of things, including the obvious. Now, this isn't going to sound obvious to you, but it is obvious when you actually reflect upon it, including the amount of time they were wasting gossiping about each other. Now, as one of the people, the chief medical officer of that team actually said, "Without gossip, what is there to talk about in this world?" Now, he was joking. But the point is, we spend a lot of time talking about people, or talking bad about people, or dare I say it, wishing people ill, or laughing when people that we don't like fall on their face. And that's an obvious one when you reflect upon it. The amount of time that we waste on bad energy, we're actually pouring our energy into bad stuff when we need to be allowing our energy flow into the here and now. But I asked those 10 or 11 people to tot up the amount of time they were spending on things that they shouldn't be doing. So they did that exercise. And at the end of it, they concluded that if they stopped doing all the things they shouldn't be doing, now these are highly paid people running a large organization, they would have 2 extra days a week to do other things. Now, those 2 extra days could be spent on doing more of the things they should be doing. And in the end, actually, that's what happened. And the organization in question really flew from a financial point of view, but from a happiness, health, and well-being point of view of the people in the organization as well. But as I said to them, you could spend those 2 extra days doing more of the stuff you should be doing, or indeed on stuff that has never even occurred to you yet, because you've been so busy wasting your energy on stuff you shouldn't have been doing. You could have a 4-day week and a 3-day weekend. You could have a 3-day week and a 4-day weekend. Or, as one particular girl that joined the online program last April, 12 months, discovered, "I can do what I thought took me 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I can do it in a 4-day week. And during the course of those 4 days, I have spare time to do other stuff that really turns me on," what she calls her passion. Once we take charge of our own state of mind, the effort goes out of everything. It goes out of thinking that I don't want to do what I have to do, thinking that I'm not capable of doing what I have to do, thinking that I'd like to be somewhere else. And instead of all that thinking, I just do what I need to do. And the really interesting thing about doing just what you need to do is you get a kick out of it. Now, this is really important from the perspective of the University of Chicago's flow research, where they say we need to be able to experience the fruits of our labors to motivate us to move ever further on. Or words to that effect. They're my words. They're probably actually better words than the academic research. The great thing about doing just what you have to do effortlessly is you get a kick out of doing it, and that spurs you on to greater things. Indeed, it spurs you on to achieve the kind of goals, objectives, dreams, and perfect moments that the people with whom I've worked over the last nearly 30 years are experiencing, have experienced, and continue to experience. Effectively, I'm talking about people like you, because anybody can do it, living up to their expectations rather than how 96% of people on this planet, what I call normal crazy people, and by the way, that's a fact because they're not in control of their own state of mind, rather than those 96% of people who live down to their expectations. You see, back in the 1930s, cognitive psychology, or just plain old psychology as it was known at the time, discovered that we only perceive what we expect to perceive, and we only achieve as a result of that what we expect to achieve. Now, neuroscience demonstrated this beautifully in 2010 or 2011, when there were a number of experiments carried out on what people processed visually when they were actually presented with visual stimuli. In non-flowery language, groups of people in a variety of different experiments were told that they were going to see a set of images, and they were told in relatively outlined terms what those images would be like. So they sat down and watched the series of images. Now, I'm obviously simplifying this a little more to it than that, but they sat down and watched the series of images with a load of electrodes on their heads, so the brain imaging technology could actually see what was going on while they were watching the images. In amongst the images that they were told to expect was a series of images that were completely different from their expectations. Their eyes saw all of the images, including the unexpected ones, but only the expected ones were processed by their visual cortex. In other words, they didn't actually see the unexpected ones because they didn't expect to see them. It's as simple as that. Now, that's an elegant experiment that, amongst other experiments, confirms that we cannot process what we don't expect. We have our perceptions about ourselves, and this is the real root cause of why people don't lose weight, for example. I know I said I wouldn't talk about weight again, but there you go. It's the root cause of why people keep telling me that they can't achieve their goals and objectives, or they can't trust themselves because of the mistakes they've made in the past, or that they are stuck. Now, that is one that I hear all too frequently. Of course, you're stuck if your automatic pilot is always bringing you back to the same place. It's inevitable, as surely as night follows day. You have this set of perceptions about yourself. Now, as we've said on many occasions during this podcast, those perceptions were learned as a result of things that were done to you when you were particularly between the age of 2 and 3, but certainly overall during what we call your formative years, when you were young and impressionable. You took what cognitive psychology called psychological snapshots of how you felt when things went bad for you. Now, there are revolutionary reasons why we take negative psychological snapshots to a far greater extent than positive ones, but that's neither here nor there in the context of today's conversation. All I want to do is emphasize the fact that we all have very low expectations of ourselves. Now, you don't need to dig up any of the potential negative ideas that you have about yourself. You don't need to go and rake over the past. You need to ignore the past because it's a foreign country. It has nothing to do with the reality of the here and now, even though when we're using our minds normally, it is the automatic pilot's source of all reference points for how you should behave yourself, or indeed actually as a result, misbehave yourself in the here and now decades later. But you don't need to go there. You know, people have often said to me, oh, do I need to see a psychoanalyst? Do I need to go back and figure out why I am, how I am? And the answer is no. And indeed, there are three former psychoanalysts who, on buying the online program, stopped psychoanalyzing their clients. All they were doing in enabling their clients go and revisit the past was actually enabling them to go and relive the past and magnify the past, and worse, give themselves an excuse as to why they weren't living their lives to the full in the here and now. So let's get that out of the way. You don't need to go and rake over the past. But we all learned negative things about ourselves predominantly when we were young and impressionable. And regardless of your own individual negative psychological snapshots, we all, certainly in the Western world, have shared negative psychological snapshots, like we are all stamped with the stamp of original sin. Now, most people will say to me, ah, surely we've got over that at this stage with the decline in organized religion over the last number of years, certainly in Western Europe. I'm not sure if it's the same in other parts of the world. I'm not going to get involved in a religious conversation, the root of all evil, or one of the roots of all evil. There is an inherent undercurrent that's been running around for the last couple of thousand years that we are in need of redemption. Even if you don't subscribe to that, and by the way, your subscription to it is subconscious, so you're not aware of it. But even if you don't subscribe to it, even subconsciously, reflect on the main premise on which you need to achieve a good education. You need to educate yourself to better yourself. What does that say to you? Subliminally, subconsciously? All right, enough said. The fact of the matter is that 96% of people are living down to their expectations because their expectations of themselves are, from an evolutionary point of view, even that they'll make it through the day. Now go back to the 1930s and what psychology discovered, that you only perceive and achieve what you expect to perceive and achieve. The next bit is pure logic, and it is so simple. Change your expectations, and everything changes. We're talking about your goals, objectives, big dreams, perfect moments. And the key to changing your expectations has actually already been explained by me just a couple of minutes ago. We learned our original expectations of ourselves by taking psychological snapshots. We change our expectations for ourselves as a result of taking new psychological snapshots. A phrase I've used a number of times over the last few months in this podcast, we set our minds. Now, we set our minds by imagining what it will be like when our big goals and dreams fall into our lap. Like Steve in Colorado's dream career. What I didn't quote right at the beginning was he said that basically this stuff fell into his lap. There was no effort involved, but I've explained that a couple of minutes ago as well. We change our expectations by imagining not so much what it'll be like when our goals and dreams come about, but how it feels. Now, I've talked about feeling earlier on because we talked about gut instinct. I've talked about how your gut instinct knows what is best for you. Therefore, when we give ourselves new psychological snapshots, listen to this, by handwriting how it feels when we have received what is best for us. Now, that's a very carefully phrased sentence I've just used. When we handwrite how it already feels, when what is best for us has just fallen into our lap, what online program owners know as a perfect moment, we give ourselves a new psychological snapshot. And therefore, we can forget about it. We don't need to say to ourselves every day, I'm going to be this, that, or the other. We don't need to reread what we have written because once written, the snapshot is actually taken. We don't need to remind ourselves, because it's our thinking mind we'd be talking to, and our thinking mind would probably be saying to you, oh, don't be so ridiculous, that's unrealistic. And by the way, that is the excuse that 96% of people on this planet use for not doing anything with their lives. It'd be unrealistic to do this, that, or the other. That's a thought, or should I say, an expectation. Change your expectations, and everything else changes. From a career point of view, from a family and relationships point of view, from a fitness point of view, from a health point of view, from a weight point of view, from a financial point of view. Now, that's one that people often get hung up on. Or, sorry, most people are already hung up on finance. I wish I had more. And you know, some of the people who most want more are people who already have far more than enough. We've talked about that before in this podcast too. But as I said to you a few weeks ago, with regards to the financial hang up, if you get yourself into flow, no, I'll rephrase that. When you are in flow, everything flows, including cash flow. In other words, looking after your state of mind, taking control of it, and allowing yourself be in the here and now, allowing yourself flow. And this is an episode, we're coming to the end of it, but I haven't mentioned the word meditation up to now. That's almost remiss of me, isn't it? Meditation is the training that we undertake to enable ourselves experience flow. But once you get into flow, everything is going to flow, and it's going to be effortless because you won't be thinking about it anymore. And when the stupid old thoughts from the past do come into your frame of experience of the moment, laugh at them. They'll go away. They don't like being laughed at. They'll go away. And I don't mean that just, you know, as a throwaway remark. Neuroscience confirms that the more I take charge of my state of mind and the more that I experience flow, the less I think, to the point where the part of my brain where the old expectations are stored is actually literally bricked up because of the changes in the way in which our neural pathways restructure themselves as a result of the training that I've just mentioned. What do you make of this? Well, if you want to contact me, you know where I am. You'll always find me on willie-horton.com. And we'll talk again next week. You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-horton.com.